Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We will get to the Elon Musk, Larry Krasner story, courtesy of the Philadelphia Inquirer. I got a lot of thoughts on this. I'm not running away from this one. I said earlier this morning we would talk about it. I have not forgotten. It's still in my packet of papers printed out, and we'll get to that coming
packet
up.
Papers printed out.
That's right. That's right. Not reading off my device all day. My eyes start to burn. I got to get those blue light lenses.
Burning, huh?
Get headaches. It's yeah, can't be staring at screens all day. It's not good for you, folks.
It's better than a burning something else.
That's right. That's right. They make medicine for that. All right, 9:03. Let's find out what's going on in the world of news.
What the hell happened to your camera?
What now?
Ooh. No, it's
fine. Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Can we go back to it? Let's go back to it. I'm like,
Phil's been in here.
Yeah, here
Phil's
he
been in here this morning, all yeah. morning, yeah, trying to fix your camera.
I don't know. It might be crooked. It might be foggy.
Now mine's frozen.
Now Phil's unplugging the. He's rebooting it. The power light went out. Yeah. Now he's going to plug it back in.
You know who looks stunning?
Who's that?
Don Stenzel.
Yeah, let's get to her.
Phil Omquist.
The hell with me.
It's the Big 3 and 9 on Kale and Company.
Sponsored by McCausland Lock and Alarm. So a lot of pushback. We've talked about Hunter Biden and the big pardon. It was a great holiday weekend for him. But special counsel David Weiss dismissing President Biden's claim that his son Hunter Biden was, quote, selectively and unfairly persecuted for federal tax and gun crimes. And so Weiss speaking out, and this is technically a local story because it's Delaware. The government
always like to jab me, don't you? You always do this. I said that to you 5 years ago, and you're not going to let me live it down.
Consistency.
It is. It is. We've worked together a long time.
Long time. My work husband. The government does not challenge, he says, that the defendant has been the recipient of an act of mercy, but that does not mean the grand jury's decision to charge him based on a finding of probable cause should be wiped away as if it never happened. So that's the latest. I mean, he's written this. He has filed this in the U.S. District Court for the Central District of California as well, arguing that the judge overseeing that case in California, that's the Hunter's tax case, saying it should not be dismissed against the first son despite the president's pardon.
So
pushing back on this.
Okay, so he is saying, so the pardon grants basically clemency, that Hunter Biden will not be punished for his actions. But Weiss is trying to claim that it will still be on his record? Because I'm thinking to the criminal justice system with the concept of expungements, where sometimes as an adult, but more notably when you're a minor, if you commit a crime, you're found guilty, you plea down, you take probation, you do community service, and then they expunge your record, meaning it's not visible publicly. It won't show up on a criminal background check for a job, for employment. And you're basically given a clean slate. Is Weiss trying to say that the slate is not clean for him? That's what I would... I feel like we're splitting hairs.
He's saying that the charges should not be, quote-unquote, wiped away just because... You know, just because of Biden pardoning him.
Well, they're more than charges. They're convictions. They're guilty pleas.
Well, he hadn't. I don't think the process was complete.
Okay.
I think that's part of the issue here.
Okay.
So,
I think Weiss is basically trying to save face, right? Look at me. I'm on the up and up. Nobody's above the law, despite what Joe wants to do.
Well, I think he's pushing back on the fact that the claim by the president. So President Biden came out and said, well, I promised that I wouldn't interfere. However, what did he say? There's no way when you look at this that you don't think or conclude that this was a case that was, you know, basically vindictive.
Yeah.
Or that it was selective.
Which is such a weak. I mean, he spent the weekend coming up with that explanation. I mean, both cases were pretty much open and shut cases. I mean, the only reason it got to this point is because he was Hunter Biden. If it was anybody else. I think I had a clip of Ellie Honig I saw yesterday, and also Andrew McCarthy on Fox. They were saying, look, if this was anybody other than Hunter Biden, they would have already been convicted and in prison by now and served their term or whatever punishment was doled out.
Yeah, and it was in April, as far as the Delaware case, that was District Judge Mary Ellen Noriega threw out Hunter's bid to try to dismiss the federal charges against him and arguing his claim of selective prosecution was, you know, belied by the facts.
Yeah. Since you brought this up, I was going to play this for part two, but I'll play it now. KJP denies that she and Biden were lying when they repeatedly told the American people there would be no pardon for Hunter.
You have said repeatedly yourself since the election, the president has said for months, no pardon was coming. I wanted to ask you, could those statements now be seen as lies from the American people? Is there really a credibility issue here given now this announcement?
First of all, one of the things that the president always believes is to be truthful to the American people. That is something that he always truly believes. And if you see the end of his, I assume that you've read his statement, and you look at the end of that statement, and he actually says that in the first line in the last paragraph, and respects the thinking and how the American people will actually see this in his decision making. And I would encourage everyone to read in full the president's statement. I think he lays out his thought process. He lays out how he came to this decision. He came to this decision this weekend. So let's be very clear about that. Yeah. He says it himself. It's in his voice. He said he came to this decision this weekend. And he said he wrestled with this. And because he believes in the justice system, but he also believes that the war politics infected the process and led to a miscarriage of justice.
Ah, war politics. Corrine, what was it like to gaslight the American public on behalf of this administration for the last 3 years?
I would refer you to the White House counsel.
I mean, she really was left hung out to dry.
Terrible.
I feel actually worse for her.
She might actually be relieved that Joe and Kamala lost and she can kind of relax for a little bit.
Because she was, I mean, she went out there
week
after week and said, nope, 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 nope. And Biden's like, hold my beer.
What a thankless job. Boy, I couldn't do it.
Man, it's unbelievable.
So number two, the jurors, you know, the prosecution is, you know, finishing up their closing arguments this morning. And then the jury gets the case to weigh the fate of one Daniel Penny. And so is he, his attorneys, his defense team, painting him as a protector, and the prosecution saying that he has, you know, he deserves to go to jail, and saying that he fatally choked a homeless man in that subway car last year, and prosecutors saying that the Marine veteran is guilty of manslaughter.
I am going to go out on record, and I believe in light of the changing political climate over the last few months, I'm going to say not guilty.
I disagree.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but, you know, it depends on the judge's instructions as well.
Sure.
Is it the prosecution? Yeah, it's the prosecution that's arguing this,
yes.
Right? So they're saying that because he's a Marine, he's trained and he should know that that hold that he had could result in something.
But the defense has countered that he did not die from the physical maneuvers of Penny, but rather what was in his system and his mental state of mind.
They're also arguing that he waited, like he was there, helpless, dying, I guess, and he didn't call for help or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, look, you know how I feel about this. Like, we need more Daniel Pennies. We do.
Yep.
But
you think he'll be found guilty?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I'm on the other side. We'll see how that. That might be a big take.
And I hope not.
I hope not too. Because it's gonna, you know, we're gonna see more people just kind of standing idly by and just not doing anything as mental patients are running amok in our cities.
Here's the thing: I think we have to keep in mind, jurors are human beings, and as much as they get kind of shielded from media coverage and sometimes sequestered, I think the juries are very cognizant of the mood and the stamina of the country.
Interesting.
If this case was 2022, I'm more inclined to believe Stocker's prediction of guilty is correct.
Oh, dude, you're tapping into something. So over the, to make a long story short, over the holiday, we watched the Menendez movie.
Netflix.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
And then after we finished that, we watched the actual documentary. And the mood of the country for that trial, because there were two of them, because the one, it was, the first one was a mistrial. The first trial was like really, like the mood of the country was like, these poor kids. Then all of a sudden, OJ happened and the mood of the country completely changed and they needed some skins on the wall. Mm-hmm. And the Menendez, if you believe these documentaries, like the jury was having none of it, and they were found completely guilty for it. So you are correct about the mood of the country being.
I think it has swung in favor of Penny, is what I'm saying.
I don't know.
I mean, it's the other piece of this has been going on. Remember, 7 weeks.
Yep.
So a lot of witnesses, and they did have witnesses, on both sides, some testifying that they thought, that Daniel Penny did the right thing and was protecting people. Others saying, no, that he, hung on to them, claiming that people were saying you can let go now. And what about the testimony where they said he had schizophrenia, mm-hmm. synthetic marijuana, all kinds of drugs in his system, and sickle cell?
Yep.
And so the combo, that's what their defense team witness doctor had said, that was the actual cause of death, not the choking.
I know it's not a federal case, but if he gets convicted, Trump should pardon him.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's a state level.
State level, so he can't. I get it. I'm just saying that this guy is just he's
26 years old.
He's being railroaded.
Yeah. Yep.
It's being railroaded. For taking a vagrant off the street.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One less of them. Good riddance.
And the other thing that matters in this case, in cases like this, is the venue, right? I mean, in New York City, Philadelphia, any of these cities with progressive DAs, more likely to be found guilty. Yep. Now, this would have happened in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, different story.
Schaefer writes, best news, Jordan Neely has not attacked anyone since.
Well, that's true. He's in the suitcase.
Well,
that's a guy who should have been in the suitcase.
Yeah.
Well, so the charges are manslaughter as well as criminally negligent homicide.
Mm-hmm.
So they charge him. So the jurors have two choices. Mm-hmm. They could do one. So maybe they don't go with the heavier one. They go with the second one.
Yep.
So that's the other concern. But the total package would be 15 years for this 26-year-old young man who served honorably as a United States Marine.
Oh, my God.
15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Miscarriage of justice.
It is.
If anything, he's going to be, there's no shot he gets completely exonerated of everything, right?
Here's the thing. It'll, no matter if they find him guilty of anything, it will be appealed.
Yes.
This will get appealed, and then it goes to a different court,
mm-hmm.
and that's, I hate to say it, but I mean, that's what you want. Yeah. You want a different court to look at the facts of the case and look at the actual evidence, not the emotion or the politics.
Right.
Is this being tried in New York City or New York State?
No, this is Manhattan.
This is Alvin Bragg's jurisdiction.
These are Manhattan.
This poor son of a bitch doesn't have a judge.
No.
He doesn't have a shot, man.
I think this is I believe this is actually Alvin Bragg's office.
Alvin Bragg's like, this is Trump's American.
If you remember Alvin Bragg, the police questioned him, they let him go. Alvin Bragg thought it wasn't a case. Remember that?
Yep.
And then the family of this individual, who, by the way, never helped him, they decide there's money in this, hold a news conference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, Alvin Bragg is interested.
Yep.
And now, much later, files these charges.
Turley and Dershowitz have had some good commentary on the case, if you care to indulge yourself.
Oh, yeah. So the bottom line is either way you look at it, so let's say they find him guilty of something, and then they do an appeal, mm-hmm. so you're looking at, like, another year.
Yep.
So, speaking of President Trump, where is he? President-elect Donald Trump is planning to visit Paris this week.
Why?
He's attending the reopening of Notre Dame Cathedral, Notre Dame, this week, his first overseas trip since winning the election.
Why does he just send Charles Kushner?
What?
Why doesn't he just send Charles Kushner?
Because he wants to go.
I was saying.
Yeah, Melania.
Charles Kushner is the ambassador to France now, isn't he?
Why don't you go? You love France
Charles
so much.
Charles Kushner.
You can stock her take Jared's a trip to France.
But, you know, and he's because he's going to meet with his little buddy, Macron.
Macron. Oh,
God.
Emmanuel.
Yes, Emmanuel. Macron. And his mommy wife, his wife, who was a teacher.
Yeah, they say French is the language of love.
In all seriousness, is Trump allowed to travel to France?
Yeah, of course he can.
He's a convicted felon.
It's all thrown out, Greg.
Get up, Harry. Come on, let's
go. No, I'm not. You misunderstand me.
I'm not arguing
with the
merits of it. By the way, a lot of convicted felons travel all over the world.
Okay. I'm not arguing the merits of it. I'm arguing if convicted felons can travel out of the country. No, they can't. Now, does he get presidential immunity because of, you know, he's
you just mentioned maybe. Charles Kushner, who was pardoned by Trump, but before
that...
He was pardoned, but before that, he could still... If it's a white-collar thing, of course. They could travel.
Okay.
It honestly depends on the condition of your, you know, situation.
I feel like there are states, or I feel like there are countries that you can't travel to as a convicted felon. Canada's one of them. Maybe France isn't. I don't know.
Well, I think all that's... First of all, it's all getting thrown out, but yeah, he could travel.
Okay.
He's got a lot of lawyers and a robot dog. So
robot dog.
There's that.
He's going to fly on the robot dog to France.
Yes, he's traveling to France. And he'll meet with Macron as well, but it's the reopening, and it's actually Saturday, but I think he's heading there a little earlier to meet with Macron.
When's he going to meet with Xi? That's what I want to know. He's met with Putin, or he had a phone call with Putin, or whatever it was. He's got to get G on the phone. He's got to get little Rocket Man. He's got to pull these little punks in their place. Let them know daddy's back.
Well, we are sponsored by McCausland Lock and Alarm for the Big Three. Business owners count on McCausland Lock and Alarm to secure and control access to their facilities, featuring top-of-the-line equipment, industry-leading customer service, and the owner, Tom McCausland, who we talk about all the time, his wealth and experience. McCausland's Lock and Alarm. Securing your business, securing your future. Thank you, McCausland Lock and Alarm. Dawn Stensland, Big Three.
By the way, which country should felons consider for travel? While many countries are difficult for felons to travel to, there are a few great options. We've listed a few. France, Germany, Spain, Poland, Italy. So you cannot travel to Canada, which is why Justin Trudeau went to him. That's all I'm saying. That is all I'm saying. You take it as me saying that, like, he's a convicted felon. He can't travel. No, I'm asking a serious question. Can convicted felons travel out of the country? And there's a lot of countries they can't do. Thank you.
Well, he's traveling to France, and it's perfectly legal. And by the way,
that's right. That's where what's his nuts went to. The director, not Woody Allen, the other child predator. Which one? The one that Whoopi Goldberg said is not rape.
Oh,
about.
Oh, jeez, I know who you're
talking about.
Rape. Yeah. Another comment from Whoopi Goldberg. Everything she says should come with a disclaimer.
Yeah.
The hell's his name? Oh God! Now I'm gonna.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Kevin.
I can picture the face. I can't think of the name. Yeah. Having a Biden moment.
Kevin.
All right. On the other side, we're up against it. It's time-wise. All right, we got to do this. So we're going to do presidential trivia.
Roman Polanski,
that's correct.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah. So I've got 48 questions here. Not that we'll need all 48. But if you want to win our normal morning mystery movie clip prize, which today is, again, is the tickets to see Yannick's holiday mixtape on December 12th, coming up at the Marian Anderson Hall in Philadelphia. Get on the phones right now, 855-839-1210. I have three trivia questions on presidents in the United States of America. If you get all three correct, you get the tickets. If you're incorrect, we'll go to the next caller, and we'll see how long it takes for us to get a winner before we get to part three of the cut sheet. A little POTUS trivia coming up next on Kale & Company, but first, a word from our friends at DuckDuckGo. And, oh, man, what an offer I have for you. How does a 30-day free trial sound? Sounds good to me. DuckDuckGo.com/1210 for your new 30-day free trial. And we are talking really about your personal information removal. because after you activate your free trial, you're going to be able to track how many sites your information is on and the status of that removal. How cool is that? Because it's serious. It's your information dangerously sitting out there because we all put it out there with signing up for this or buying that. Now it's removed and you will know. I personally have been using Privacy Pro and I found my personal information 52 times sitting right out there on the internet and already 17 records deleted. It can help you remove your records too. That's why I subscribe to Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo, and they are able to offer you this free 30-day trial at duckduckgo.com/1210. And of course, you get the 3-in-1 subscription service, which includes DuckDuckGo VPN, personal information removal, and identity theft restoration. That's three features for the price of one 30-day free trial offer. Trust me, do it today. DuckDuckGo.com/1210.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
First caller up is our buddy Bill in Ardmore. Bill, good morning. How are you, pal?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you all.
All right. Let's see if you can get this correct.
Three correct, right?
Three correct. Okay. Here we go.
Sure, the rules.
Yep. First question, Bill. Which? Oh boy, bad connection. Bill, which?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, turn your radio down. Which? Roll your windows up. Take off the Bluetooth. Get off speaker. The whole bit. Which U.S. president taught law at the University of Arkansas?
Bill Clinton.
That is correct. Hopefully, Arkansas was the giveaway. Yeah. Question number two. Mm. Which two U.S. presidents have only an initial for a middle name?
Only an initial.
That is correct. And it's the holiday season. I am actually willing to give you the letter, but you'll still have to guess the full names with the middle initial in there.
I mean, one is very obvious.
Yeah.
These are both very easy. But then again, he's live on the radio, and he's probably a little worried.
Yeah.
Bill?
Actually, both.
Yeah, a little bit.
Both of them are a little easy.
Yeah.
Who do I hate, Bill?
He hates everybody.
I don't know. Bill, that's a long list.
Yeah. Bill, I'm going to throw you a lifeline here. The middle initial for both of these presidents is S.
No.
That was wrong. It was not F.
Okay. All right.
Ulysses S. Grant.
That is half of it. Now give me the other guy.
His middle name was not S.
No, that's not it. But you're still on. Don't worry. We dumped that for you.
The buck stops here.
Oh, listen to Dawn. Listen to Dawn with the...
That's your clue.
Oh, Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, no. Incorrect.
I tried to help.
Incorrect, Bill. The answer was Harry S. Truman.
Yeah, I would have...
Yes.
What was the question again?
Which two U.S. presidents have only an initial for a middle name? I guess there's really no name attached. It's not like Harry Stephen Truman. It's just S.
Yes.
He doesn't have a real name attached to that.
Yeah, I misheard the question. I thought you were talking about like famous people who use their middle name.
No.
So Harry Truman's
Harry
middle
S.
name.
Truman and Ulysses S. Grant are just S.
By the way, we still have the prize. So if you want to play.
Yeah, we'll
855-839-1210 right now.
Yep. We'll take you if you want to jump in before we move on to things like the cut sheet and today in music history. In the meantime, unless you guys want, because I did tease, I want to get to the Elon Musk Larry Krasner story.
Please do it.
Because
it's
this
935,
is
for God's
sake. I know this. We just get so caught up in all the nonsense we're talking about here, but it seems to work at the end of the day. Elon Musk's America PAC is, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, could quote target progressive DAs like Larry Krasner. And I found this story interesting, and I got a lot of thoughts on this. So let me just give you a couple of these highlights here, because in typical Inquirer fashion, they have to write like everything like it's the Old Testament. It's everything's 38 pages long, and I'm trying to do a radio show. But they say Elon Musk is apparently set to target a lot of progressive DAs. In fact, six total, and Larry Krasner appears to be on that list. Musk specifically wants his PAC to challenge DAs who have received money from billionaire George Soros. During his last run for DA, Krasner received support from a Soros-affiliated PAC. And Krasner, who reportedly intends to seek a third term coming up, could face challenges from several other Democrats in the May 20th primary. As you know, he took office in 2018, but Musk promoted on X last month that he listed six district attorneys, including Krasner, who were, quote, Soros-backed, and face re-election either in 2025 or 2026. The billionaire owner of X said the list was, quote, interesting, and he tagged America's America PAC's X account. And if you remember, we talked about this story when Elon was giving out these $1 million giveaways for signing a petition for supporting both the First and Second Amendments. You signed it, you were registered, you could win money, and ended up in the courts here. You know, Krasner was out there, you know, spouting off in front of a microphone. And I love this story. And the reason I love this is because sometimes it takes money and balls to fight somebody that's got a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. And Elon Musk, say what you want, he's got more money than anybody, and I don't think he's, because he has FU money, that kind of affords you the ability not to be afraid of things and do whatever the hell you want, because who's going to stop Elon Musk, right? So you fight money with money, and here you're going to have this battle if Elon wants to come through on this and pursue this. Now, what's worth noting is he did try to target a Soros DA in a previous election in Texas, and he ended up losing. That DA, I believe, got reelected. But I think Philadelphia is different. And you have all of these district attorneys. I think they should all lose. All of these progressive anti-crime fighting DAs, get the hell out. Go work in the private sector. Be a defense attorney if that's what you want to do. And I would probably say it's better than 50-50 that Krasner's going to be on his way out. I'm not sure if people agree with that or not. But the reason I say that, and if I had to quantify it, I don't know, 65-35, 70-30, I think this is it for Larry Krasner. Because I think when you look at the writing on the wall, on the whole defund the police movement, on the way we have vilified cops, the way we've given all of these people 10 get out of jail for free cards, only for them to reoffend within 48 hours on the street, and then get put back in jail, and then get back out again. I think, again, reading the room and the mood of the nation, and by the way, specifically, this is why I think Larry Krasner will be out. Philadelphia rejected Helen Gim. Right. Like, they selected Sherelle Parker. And again, I'm not sitting here waving the pom-poms for Sherelle Parker, but they did not want Helen Gim and her left-wing progressivism. And I think that is one of the first steps in the right direction. Again, not to say Sherelle Parker's great by any stretch, because I don't think she is, but I think you're going to end up with somebody less progressive that truly wants to fairly prosecute criminals. And I think Krasner has reached his expiration date. I do not think he will win again.
Yeah, I mean, he's been elected, you know, twice, reportedly will run for a third term. However, it depends on who runs against him. So supposedly, I know that this past summer, I want to say, there were, you know, Democrats who want to primary him. And so will that weaken him if there are some who are, you know, some pretty big names?
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, I would also say that I don't think there's a lot of love from Mayor Sherelle Parker, or we know from Governor Josh Shapiro, because remember the special prosecutor, you know, that was that Shapiro could have blocked.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, with regard to the SEPTA crimes and figuring that out, I also think it makes a difference that Dave Sunday, who has just well, the Republican who's just won as the Attorney General, Dave Sunday winning, and what will he look into? And that, I think mm-hmm. that will come into play as well.
Right. Now, every time you hear Soros backed, I don't think, and again, unless the numbers are public, and I'd like to see them if they are, I don't know how much money, when you hear Soros backed Larry Krasner, how much money Soros is putting into Larry Krasner, or this DA, or that DA, or the collective figure.
It should all be public, though, shouldn't it?
I would think so. I don't have it in front of me. But whatever that number is, the beauty of this is Elon Musk can match or top that. So if it comes down to who invests more money into pumping up a district attorney, Elon can fight fire for fire, dollar with anybody walking planet Earth.
$1.7 million.
Was that for Krasner specifically or just these collection of DAs?
This That's was a WHYY report from 2017.
Okay.
And
$1.7 million is not a ton, guys.
It says Soros put nearly $1.7 million in Philly DA's race.
Yeah.
So that's just one race.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Elon could sit there and say, well, I'll see your 1.7 and raise you another 1.7.
$1.7 million.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, you know, people love to talk about it, but it was a brilliant strategy because, you know, for a bargain for $1.7 million in a city race where there's not that much money, mm-hmm. You can really impact a local election. And that's what they did across the country. So it's a lot of bang for your buck.
Yep.
As opposed to you look at like these presidential races. Look at everybody mad at Kamala Harris right now. Over $1 billion. Where did that money go?
They can't even find some of it.
Can't even find it. And by the way, did not guarantee a win.
Right.
So if you're looking at the winning gamble, let's say, mm-hmm. this is probably a better bet.
Yeah. I agree. All right, 9:40. We'll come back, find out what occurred today in music history, as well as what is on tap for the Dawn Show coming up at the top of the hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We got to talk about our friends at Piazza. Great event tomorrow. We hope it'll be fun out in Westchester. But there's no greater time of the year to give back than the holiday season. You know that. And that's why my friends from Piazza Premium Automobiles are partnering right now with the Salvation Army for the Piazza Toy Drive, once again with the Salvation Army. So you can visit any of the Pennsylvania or Delaware Piazza Premium showrooms, and that's through December 16th. You can donate a new unwrapped toy. Your support is surely going to make the holidays a little bit brighter for a local child. You can find the dealership nearest you online, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, PIAZZA, PremiumAutos.com. Thank you. Happy holidays from the Piazza family. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
How many times have the cameras frozen?
Today, three for Nick, yeah. And you won.
I got an idea. How about we just take them? I'll go out and we'll lay them on Market Street and I'll run them the hell over with my truck.
But somehow this one isn't.
There we go.
And, you know, this is amazing.
Because it is amazing.
Always.
Right. Look at Nick. He's...
It's like a fine oiled machine around here.
It really is.
9:49. Let's find out what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. On Kale and Company.
Today, December 3rd, we celebrate the birthdays of Don Barnes from 38 Special, who's 72. Mickey Thomas from Jefferson Starship and Starship, who's 75. And Ozzy Osbourne, who's 76. And by the way, a quick shout out to Pretend Ozzy on Ozzy's birthday. Heavenly birthday shout out to Dwayne Rowland from Molly Hatchet. We also lost Scott Weiland from STP on this day in 2015. Single Coot, You're 16 by Ringo in 73. Day Tripper by the Beatles in 65. Happy Jack by The Who in 66. Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran in 82. And The Things We Do for Love by 10cc in 77. Album The Cool Rubber Soul by The Beatles in 65. Slayer's debut Show No Mercy in 1983. And My Generation by The Who in 65. Also in 92, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards confirmed Bill Wyman is leaving the Stones. In 99, U2's Bono had his missing laptop returned after losing it. Someone had bought it, then discovered it was the missing laptop, which, by the way, contained tracks to the new album. Oops. In 65, the Beatles began their last UK tour. And in 81, AC/DC is banned from firing cannons during For Those About to Rock at a show in Hartford, Connecticut, as police enforce an ordinance banning stage weaponry. But lastly, in 76, and you don't get this anywhere else but here on PHT, a giant inflatable pig could be seen floating above London after breaking free from its moorings. The pig was being photographed for the upcoming Pink Floyd's Animals album cover. The Civil Aviation Authority issued a warning to all pilots that a flying pig was on the run. It eventually crashed into a barn where the owner complained that his cows were scarred by the incident. For Kale Company, I'm Phil Omquist.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Wow.
Phil Omquist, folks.
Fire!
And his camera did not freeze.
It did not.
Did not freeze.
Phil, you didn't break the camera.
You did not.
Even on less than 3 hours sleep, it didn't break. Oh, my
God.
There you go.
He went to see Creed and Three Doors Down last night.
And Mammoth Wolfgang Van Halen.
In Allentown. And got home at midnight and was here before any of us this morning.
Phil Lindquist is living the dream.
He really is. Man.
And he's the hardest working man in radio, too.
Goes to see Creed. By the way, Creed, best halftime performance in Thanksgiving history. 2002.
Yeah.
All right.
The hardest working woman in radio.
That's right.
Person.
And Greg's the hardest working executive morning producer slash. I'm the only guy that's a slacker.
He's true.
The only guy out of here at 10 o'clock and goes home to sleep.
That's absolutely true.
What a schlub I am. All right. Dawn Show.
How do I get your schedule?
I know. Top of the hour. What do we have lined up?
So we have coming up, we're going to update you on some of the big stories of the day nationally and locally, including the search for this most wanted man in Philadelphia, an alleged killer amongst us, and many asking, why was this guy ever paroled in the first place, as he was one of those career criminals on parole? So we'll talk about that among the other stories of the day. Coming up about, 10:10 maybe, I have a friend, we'll talk Italy, because a friend who is going on the next Italy trip, we spent time in the last Italy trip, but she's also doing a great event that we want to tell you about. Uh-oh. And something where you can all contribute and make this holiday season brighter for many of our children. So Anne Marie is in the house. Nice. She's actually physically here. Yay! So we got some fun, exclusive, really embarrassing Italy videos from last time around, so you'll have fun with that. Coming up at 11, we will have a local suburban police chief is going to talk about these so-called these tourism burglars that we talked about in the 6 a.m. hour.
Over on the main line.
So this one is going on in Montgomery County, but this is happening across the region. So they really want to give you some important tips as far as the holiday season, leaving your home, that sort of thing, and the latest on the investigation to catch these different burglary rings seriously during this season.
Okay. Dawn Show coming up in just about 6 minutes.
By the way, Dawn's trip to Italy is filling up in like record time fast. So if you haven't done so yet, I would suggest getting on that trip because I think there's only two or three slots left. So
get
on
the
there
point.
Now.
Ken said to me, Dawn, are all four of you, are Larry and the boys going for sure? Because I need to have a head count because it's getting down to it.
Yeah. Dawn's a rock star.
You're able to bring home wine, correct?
that's what Kale wants
because,
to know.
Because if you are, I'm going to give you money. I want you to bring me home a bottle of red, and I'm going to pair it with the Linda Kearns olive oil that I was getting.
No. The issue, Nick, is that I should ship it because otherwise it gets, we take it home and then people come over and then certain people go, hey, let's get into the stash and somebody else drinks it.
Or you can just leave it in your driveway. I'll pick it up.
I already dealt with this. It's a sore point.
Conservative
family. Somebody drank the wine.
ConservativeSports.com. Make sure you jump on that trip before it sells out.
And I know who likes wine.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for us. Everybody have a great rest of your Tuesday. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.